We'll be in John chapter number 20, John chapter 20 this morning. Again, I appreciate you coming and bringing your Bibles ready to hear from the Word of God. No other place I'd rather be on this Sunday than in God's house. And you apparently are the same for being here, and I appreciate that. And so thankful to be here, the risen Savior. What a wonderful thing. I thought about yesterday, Saturday being, and you always look back, if you're like me, I think back, that Saturday must have been a very quiet Saturday. Can you imagine? And they had no hope. They had no understanding. We're going to read that in a minute. They were all confused. They thought their Savior was dead and gone. Their Redeemer was gone. And yet only to see and find He lives. And today we celebrate that very thing. Of course, the title this morning, He is Risen. He is Risen. Now, as we look at this today, notice if you will, I said John chapter number 20, please. Verse 1, the first day of the week. Come with Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark, under the sepulchre, and seeth a stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter, to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they've laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down and looking in saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him and went in to the sepulchre and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet, notice this, they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. We'll stop there for a minute and come back. But you notice here the wonderful story that is unfolding before us and how that we see the events coming to play. These disciples come after they hear the story from the ladies. In particular, there were several ladies in the account from the Gospel of Luke that came for the purpose of anointing the body. By this time, 3 days later, they would, especially during in the Jewish tradition, after they've first anointed the body, about 3 days later, they know that that ointment and those spices are wearing off. And so they'll come back and re-anoint the body, obviously in a show of appreciation and respect. And so when they come, you see the story unfolding that they obviously are shocked by what took place. They're shocked the stone is rolled away. They're utterly surprised by what took place. Now, first of all, we're going to see why were they shocked when they shouldn't have been. They knew not what? The scriptures. They knew not the scriptures. Now, shame on us as believers that don't know the scriptures. We need to know the Bible. We need to know what's going on. We don't need to know every single event that's going on right now, but we know what's happening. And I believe, and I know you do as well, Jesus is coming soon. I mean, you can see it all unfolding before our eyes. So we see, first of all, I want you to notice with me, there is the seeking of the Savior. In the account given in Luke, in chapter 24 in particular, it says they came to seek Him. They came to seek out the Savior. You ever been looking for something before? I recall several years ago, we had been out of town and I was preaching in another church out of town. And we'd come back home and we got home and it was late at night and I walked in the door and I walked to the back, our back bedroom, the master bedroom had a door that went out to the back porch. And I walked in and I flipped the light on and the door was wide open to the back. And I thought, well, that's not good. And it was an old door and it had a nasty habit of not latching. You have one of those doors where you kind of got to lift up on it until it clicks. And so we figured, you know, okay, that's fine. We just didn't latch it. The wind blew it open, whatever the case was. And I looked under the beds and in the closets, you know, and I made sure and I told the kid, okay, everything's good. Come on in. Well, it was one of those times when as soon as your head hits the pillow, man, you're out. You have those days? And I was out and I was in a deep dream. I don't even recall, but I remember a Skittle rainbow or something. One of those kind of dreams, you know. And so anyways, and we were going fast asleep. And about 3 a.m., my arm starts shaking. And you don't know when you're asleep or awake, you know, those kind of things. Where am I? I'm in the promised land, you know. And he shakes. And my wife says, wake up. And I said, what? What's wrong? You know, what's wrong? She said, wake up. And I said, well, what? What? And finally, I come to. She said, there's a rat under the bed. And I said, what? She said, there's a rat under the bed. And I thought, you know, a lady was embellishing. You know, they get kind of excited. And I thought, okay, it's a house mouse. She thinks it's a rat, you know. I said, honey, it's probably just a little mouse. Calm down. She said, no, you don't understand. It's a rat. And so I said, of course, I didn't get down off the bed. I lifted the little skirt up, you know, and I looked under. And I kid you not, about 10 inches away from my face was a rat this big, and his tail was about this big. And he's just staring at me. And I got up and I said, there's a rat under the bed. She said, I told you. I said, no, you said it was a mouse. There's a rat. She said, I said it was a rat. I know what a rat looks like. I said, well, what are you going to do about it? She said, I'm not doing nothing. What are you going to do about it? And I kid you not, for the next 3 hours, we were trying to get rid of this literal rat. Okay. I stuck the broom under. Man, it ran behind the dresser. I stuck it behind the dresser. He ran behind the armoire thing or whatever. We couldn't get rid of this thing. He had it too good. He had been in the house for 3 or 4 days without us there, eating all the kids' crumbs, playing with everything. I put those, you know, it's called the Rat Trap Hotel or whatever, where they go inside. Well, I put the peanut butter. He went in, ate the peanut butter, and backed on out. You know, man, they're good at that. And for a week, we couldn't get rid of this rat. My kids got so used to it, they named it Ratatouille. And they would say, they said, Daddy's running down the hallway. He's coming. He ran across our room. We couldn't get rid of it. And finally, it was a Friday, I think it was. We didn't hear any more noise. I had put out some poison, and he had, or she, I don't know what it was, ate the poison, and I found it dead behind the dresser in the office. And the kids were devastated. I mean, you killed our pet, man. What'd you do that for, you know? So I had to get him a cat, you know, cats. Okay. Anyways, I'm trying to tie this into the message. Okay. And I was seeking so hard to get rid of this thing, this rat in my house. And I thought about it as I was studying this week, looking at this as they sought the Lord. Am I seeking the Lord as I should? Now, we see here that we see they come to the sepulcher, they find it empty, and not rejoice. What do? They fret and fear. You ever been there before? You find out, whoa, what's going on here? Well, if you knew the scriptures, if you knew the word, you would understand what's happening. Now notice here with me this morning, they stooping down, verse 5, and see the linen clothes lie. They still didn't get it. They still didn't understand. Now again, you must remember on at least 3 occasions, Jesus Christ tells the apostles specifically what's going to happen. You remember, prior to his crucifixion and his death, what happened? He said, I'm going to be arrested, I'm going to be crucified, but I'm going to rise again the third day. And they did not listen. They refused to hear. I want you to turn with me to back to the Gospel of Luke in Luke 24, because I want you to see a little bit. Luke gives a little bit more detail in Luke chapter number 24. I would encourage you to read all of the accounts of this in the Gospels. But Luke, as you know, he is the great physician that was a companion of Paul's, and he gave great detail. Luke 24, notice, jump down to verse 4. It says, and it came to pass as they were, notice, much perplexed thereabout. Behold, 2 men stood by them in shining garments, and as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember, notice how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Do you know Jesus Christ gives us all that we need to know in this life? People say, well, I don't know what to do. Yes, you do. I don't know where to go. Yes, you do. God has not left anything that we don't need out. We have everything we need. We talked about that several weeks ago in the book of Deuteronomy. He says the things that are revealed to us, the secret things God hasn't revealed, but everything that pertains to this life and how to know Him and please Him has been revealed. Now we follow that. Notice that. He said He told you all of this. He told you all of this. Notice verse 11, if you will. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Now, very interesting. They thought they were idle tales. You know what Peter later will say in his epistle?
He says, I want to remind you something. We're not following, here's he used the same wording, cunningly devised fables, but we're what? You know your Bible. Eyewitnesses to his majesty. Well, that's not what he said here. When the ladies came and said, you won't believe this, the tomb is empty, the stone is rolled away, they said, no, that's impossible. That's an idle tale. That's a fairy tale you're telling. And oh, how Peter later ate his own words, and he clarified to those believers there, and he said, listen, friends, we're not following cunningly devised fables. We're not following fantasy. We're following the truth. And do you know today people laugh at us for being here in church? Do you know today people mock you for reading your Bible and standing for the truth? They do. Some of you have lost friends and even family because of your stand for the Word of God. People will laugh. They will look at it as a fairy tale. And I'm here to tell you emphatically this morning, without stammer or stutter or any hesitation, we serve the living Savior. Amen. We serve the risen Savior. We serve a living God. I told you the story several weeks ago. I must say it again. I read a story of a lady who grew up in a very paganistic home, a pagan culture home. And she grew up believing that she was to worship these dead idols, these dead gods. And she finally one day in adulthood was invited to church and got miraculously saved. And she came to the pastor afterwards and said, I knew it. And he said, knew what? She said, I knew it was just foolish to serve dead gods. I knew there was a living God somewhere that we could serve. Praise God for that. And I pray that you would reach more people and share this wonderful news with those around you of a living Savior. There was the seeking of the Savior. We know that. And we see here, notice also the remembrance. As you're still there in Luke 24, notice again verse 6, remember. Remember how he spake unto you. You and I have a nasty tendency to forget things, and that just comes with life. You ever gone to the refrigerator and stand there? What did I do? Why am I here? Why did I come? I don't know. I forgot. I forgot it. We have a tendency to forget, and the Lord himself reminded Moses in particular, and he said, write this down, Moses, and he says, I want you to record everything I'm saying for this express reason, that you would not forget. You remember how he said that? Because you're going to get into the promised land one day, and you're going to look back, and you're going to forget. The generations after you are going to forget. And by the way, it's a sad state of affairs in America today, because our generation has forgot all that God did. And they complain about America. They complain about all these things. They forgot what God has done. They forgot how good he is. Do you know him this morning? Do you know him as your Savior? Have you experienced the changing power, the power of the living God in your life, how he can transform you? They forgot. Notice, remember. Remembrance comes through time spent in the Word. You know that. Remembrance comes. Listen, I'm reading through the Bible again. I started back over again. And I'm starting over. And I just read Genesis. But I read something just the other day. No, Ezekiel I was in. I read it and I thought, I've never even read that before. But I had. I just forgot. You know? I never read that. You ever read through the book of Proverbs? I try and read the Proverbs all the time. And I go, I never read that. Yes, I have. I just forgot. And God has given us 66 books with over 40 different authors, except that they all point to the same theme. They're all pointing to the same person, right? And he's done that so we can remember. Remember. Verse 7, that he must be delivered. 1, he would be crucified. 2, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. And the light bulb turned on and went, oh. You know, there's a lot of people, I believe millions of people, that are going to stand before Jesus Christ on that judgment day. And the Bible says very clearly, we're going to be judged out of this very book. A sharp two-edged sword comes out of the Lord Jesus Christ's mouth. That's a reference to the Word of God. And they're going to go, oh, I remember that. Oh, I remember I was supposed to do that. Oh, I know I should have done that. I should have served God. I should have been in church. I should have gotten saved, etc., etc. We know that. My friends, can I encourage you on this Resurrection Sunday? May it be the day that you start doing what you're supposed to do. Would you start serving God the way you should serve? Remember his words. You can't remember if you didn't put anything in there. You've got to be putting the word in your heart and in your mind. They returned and they told the others. Are you seeking today, not only that, but if you know the Lord, are you remembering His words? And let me say, let's get into this here, and I must hasten. Verse number 13, we're going to see the false expectations to avoid. Behold, two of them went that same day to the village called Emmaus. It was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. Notice this. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know Him. He said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass? He said unto them, what things? I love the Lord. What things? You know, Jesus Christ, and we said this already, but He never asks a question to obtain information. He's always asking questions, and you find this in the Old Testament especially. He asks questions, why? To get us to figure out, to get us to get the light bulb to turn on of where we're at and what we're thinking. He said He did this in the garden. Where are you, Adam? Did He know where he was? Absolutely. What was He doing? Trying to get Adam to see what situation he was in. The sin he was in. Notice, concerning Jesus, which a prophet mighty indeed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered Him to be condemned to death and have crucified Him. But we trusted that He had been He which should have redeemed Israel. Oh well. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. And certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. They found not His body. They came saying that He had also seen a vision of angels which said that He was alive. Can you believe that nonsense? And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, found it even as the women had said, but Him they saw not. And then Jesus said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And beginning, you underline and circle this verse, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them and all the scripture the things concerning who? Himself. Jesus went all the way back to Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and Joshua and Judges and Ruth and 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. He went through every book and said, see, that there I am, there I am, there I am. We have a miraculous book today, 66 books that speak about one person, Jesus Christ, the coming Messiah. You think about this here, and I have this, the false expectations to avoid. I talk with folks off and on, and they say, Brother Tim, we're having problems here. And we need help, particular marital things. You know what the number one problem is in marriage? False expectations, aren't they? Well, I thought she would. I thought he would. I expected her to. I was hoping that he would, except ... You know. And that's exactly what happens in life, and we ought to be very careful about this too. And the reason, coming back to it, let me clarify again, we do not have to have false expectations. A lot of people quit the faith and a lot of people turn from Christ after serving Him for a while because He didn't do all that they expected Him to do. You ever meet people like that? I've been there before myself. Well, since God, You didn't come through there, and I was hoping You would do this and that. Well, I'm just not going to serve. I'm not going to do as much as I should. No, my friends, we know the Bible. You know the Lord. You know the Savior. You're following the Word daily. You're spending time in prayer with Him, and He's revealing things to you through the Holy Spirit and helping you and guiding you. We don't have to have false expectations. And oh, I think about, there was not just one individual there that said, hey, everyone calm down. The tomb is empty. Duh. Remember He told us? The tomb is empty. Well, everyone chill out, calm down. Remember He told, not one person, can you believe that? Not one of His hundreds of disciples and His 12 apostles and how many other followers, the women and children, thousands of them flocked Jesus during His ministry. So much the so that you remember one stage where the disciples had to push back the people and say, hey, hey, everyone calm down, let's back up a little bit. They're thronging, the Bible says, Jesus. Not one of them heard the word that Jesus spoke. You ever been talking to somebody and you know they're not even listening? Kids, I'm learning that now. And the kid, you just tell them something. They're looking right at you. And then you say, why didn't you, what? You never told me. You know? Oh, my friends, I know I'm there often. That we must know the word. We must listen. Are you listening? Are you coming back to the reality that God does not mince words? He's not hiding anything from us. You, if you know your Bible and you're close to the Lord, will not stand before Him one day and go, Lord, I didn't know I was supposed to do that. I didn't know I should have done that and this and that. You better find out what God wants you to do and do it. If we truly serve the living Savior as we believe today, you better find out what God wants you to do and do it. I must wrap it up with this last point. That we see, He says, I've revealed to you all that you need. I hear people often say, oh, we don't need the Old Testament. Not according to Jesus. We need the Old Testament. In fact, I enjoy the Old Testament. I know some of you do as well. I enjoy it a little bit more than the New Testament. Oh, because it talks all the riches. And Paul later will say to the church at Corinth, these things were written for our learning and our admonition, that we can know more, that we can understand more of what we're supposed to do, etc., and all of that. So we see here. And Jesus says, I'll go all the way back and preach to you concerning Him. Let me just remind you very briefly, because I have the responsibility to do that, that if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today, that you need to handle that. You need to handle that. Get that right. We're not guaranteed another day. I just talked seemingly just recently. I don't know. It comes in. Sometimes when it rains, it pours. I've talked to handfuls of people just recently that have lost somebody. They've lost a loved one. And then they'll go through dry spells. Well, I don't talk to many people dealing with certain things like that. But they come, they'll tell me these things, and I have a burden. I carry that burden as well with them and pray for them and pray with them and all of that. But you think about, we must understand, where am I at right now in the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ? Those of you that are saved, are you serving Him like you should? Are you serving Him faithfully? Are you where you should be spiritually? Are you propagating the truth to those around you? Unashamedly, unashamedly. Let me say here, these men and these women, after they saw the risen Savior, after they experienced the great event that took place, the resurrection that we portray and try to preach as often as we can right here behind us in this empty tomb, they went forward and gave their lives. Not because of a dead Savior. Not because, well, I don't know. I mean, everyone else says He's alive, but I don't know. No, you don't give your life to something half-hearted, do you? They believed wholeheartedly. They knew it. We read last week 1 Corinthians 15, and I'd encourage you to do that today. How Paul describes, and he says, if Christ be not risen, we're here in vain. If Christ be not risen, my preaching's in vain. If Christ be not risen, we're wasting our time. And you and I are just a bunch of fools. Except we know the truth. We know the truth not only by the Word of God, we know the truth secondly by experience. You've experienced Jesus Christ. How can you believe in this thing? How can you believe? I heard this just recently again. You Christians believe, you have no evidence. Everything's by faith with you. And I say, yeah, true, true. And then I say, but you haven't had the experience I have. If you serve Christ, you have the experience of knowing Him. You've been through things that He's blessed and provided and done, and you know that. And I want to encourage you today, don't forget all that God has done and how you pleaded with Him to save you, pleaded with Him to bring you through that difficult season. Oh God, don't let me die. Oh God, don't heal my child. Help us through this difficult season. Don't forget. God wants us to remember. And when we remember the risen Savior, we understand what He's done for us. We can go forward like these apostles and these ladies. These hundreds of people in 1 Corinthians, it says that He was seen not only by the apostles, but over 500 people at one time. He came, a large congregation was together, and He appeared. We have the evidence, and Peter says we're eyewitnesses to that. Today, do you know the Lord as your Savior? Do you know Him? Today would be the greatest day, the greatest decision of your life. Accept Him as your Savior. Secondly, if you're not serving Him the way you should be as you're a child of His, you have to get on board. You get on board. Listen, it's not peaches and cream. Serving Christ, you seasoned veteran Christians, you know that. It's difficult. You have challenges. The world is against you. Jesus Himself said they're going to hate you because they hated me. But We have the joy and peace that comes by knowing Him. And not one of you in here would give it up for anything. You wouldn't trade it for the world. Somebody said, I'll give you $1 million. You trade in your salvation. You'd say, take a hike. Take a hike. I'd rather be a poor pauper. Because why? My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Don't forget about that. I'm just a passing through. This world is not my home. Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth and thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. What? Where neither moth nor rust nor thieves can break through and steal. You have, that's called a double guarantee right there. A triple guarantee. You understand, you're looking forward to that. I found this quote, I thought it was so fitting. It says that on one occasion, the great painter Michelangelo, he turned on his fellow artists in a spirit of indignation. He said, why do you keep filling gallery after gallery with endless pictures of the one theme of Christ and weakness? Christ on the cross. And most of all, Christ hanging dead. Why do you concentrate on the passing episode as if it were the last work, as if the curtain dropped on him with disaster and defeat? That dreadful scene lasted a few hours, but to the unending eternity, Christ is alive, the stone has been rolled away, and he rules and reigns and triumphs. And I agree with old Michelangelo there. We celebrate today the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection, Ephesians chapter number 1 talks about, as Paul preaches to that church there, about the resurrection. It brings to us justification today. Validation. And if Christ did not rise from the dead, we're wasting our time. You know that. But now is He risen, Paul says. And because of that, we go forward and we passionately serve Christ today. We passionately serve. We get up each morning to spend time in this Word. We get up every day and we're busy and you have all kinds of things happening, but you prioritize this book and you prioritize the prayer in your life. Why? Because you serve a living Savior. You don't serve a dead God. We serve a living Savior. And I'll end with this. A Muslim man, I found a fascinating story. He got saved, and all of his family shunned him. And they said, you're wasting your time. We want nothing to do with you. Why would you turn to Christianity? His parents shunned him. Consequently, the parents told the siblings to have nothing to do with this man. And he was an outcast in his little village. And they came to him one day and they said, why would you give up everything to take on this religion? And he said, let me put it this way. If you were walking down a road and you came to a fork in the road and one went to the left, one went to the right. And the guy on the left was a dead God and the guy on the right was a living God, which one would you ask directions? He put it so simply, so elementary, that because of Christ's resurrection, because of his proof, because of his many, Luke says in the book of Acts, many infallible proofs that he was alive, because of that, we serve, we go forward, we keep marching. We put on the armor of God today and we'll put it on tomorrow and we keep drudging through this world. We keep living through what we call the fallen state. We're sinful, we're fallible, we make mistakes, we're going to mess up, but we keep pushing forward. Onward, Christian soldiers, forward. We march. Because one day, my friends, if you think about it often, we just sang about it. You're going to pass from this earth and Lord willing, you're going to stand before Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, Paul says very clearly in Philippians 2, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. And I want to give an account for not only my life and my family, but for this church. And I want him to be proud and pleased with what we did here and what we preached here and what we prayed for. And yesterday we pleaded with God and prayed, Father, fall fresh on us. Holy Spirit, fall fresh. We go out into the community like we did yesterday. Why? Just to build some brownie points with God? No, we're doing it. Why? So others can know the joy. Others can know the peace that comes by Jesus Christ. And that's why we do it. Today, do you know him? I pray you do. Celebrate his resurrection today. Spend time reading through the gospel accounts. Look up the word resurrection. Look up all the references and study the word because it is a major and almost honing in on the theme of the New Testament is the resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? We know that. All right. Thank you for coming today. I do appreciate you being so attentive and listening. And we'll have a word of prayer here, have a verse of invitation. And then we're excited today. We have another young man coming who's going to be baptized. Amen. And then right after that, again, don't run off. We have a meal for you. Spend some time here with us in fellowship, would you please? All right. Let's have a word of prayer, Lord. Thank you for this time this morning. I know, Father, I look out and these people are veterans, Lord. They're believers. They've been for many years. There may be some here today that may not know you as their Savior. I pray they'd handle that. I pray they'd get that right. And I'd love to take just about 10 minutes of their time after the service closes and share with them the gospel. I do pray, though, Father, for those of us here that know you and have served you. Lord, remind us and renew us and refresh us and really recharge us today. Put some excitement in our hearts as we think about we serve a risen Savior. We are not, Lord, anticipating something of a dreadful life, of a lonely life, of so many people do. They have nothing to look forward to. Lord, in anticipation, we look forward to that great resurrection day. And if you do not return, Lord, while we're alive, we know that when we pass from this earth, one day we'll be resurrected just as you did. And we thank you for it. Lord, above all, we praise you. We rejoice in you for knowing you, serving you, and Lord, especially your great grace upon our lives. Thank you, Father.